Amen. Thank you, Brother Billy. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, and this evening, we want to consider Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So this morning, it's tonight, isn't it? It's clearly tonight. So if anyone's tuning in the live stream and it's morning for you, good morning to you. Since we're going to consider Enoch tonight, let's go to Genesis chapter 5, where we see the account of Enoch, Genesis chapter 5. And this is in the genealogy chapter here, where quite a few of Adam's posterity are listed here. And if you go through this account of this genealogy, it says that so-and-so was born, and then so-and-so lived so many years, and then he begat his son. And that's the pattern that it uses. They were born, and then they lived so many years, and then they had children. But notice this description of Enoch in this genealogy. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years, and he begat Methuselah. In verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, the way that it describes Enoch, that the way that he lived his life was walking with God. The rest of these men, you know, they lived so many years and then they begat their children. Well, instead of it saying that Enoch simply in verse 22, instead of Enoch lived so many years, it says that Enoch walked with God. You know, as we consider faith, and this was somewhat of the introductory message to Hebrews chapter 11, the just shall live by faith. That's how we're commanded to live. We live by faith, and it tells us in verse 6 there that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we want to live life a life that's pleasing to God.
Amen.
Right? And the way that we do that, the way that we live a life that is honorable and pleasing to God, is by faith. And when we walk by faith, we walk along with God. Think about that. Walking by faith, and faith is a fruit of the Spirit, right? So if you're living by faith and you're walking by faith, you're walking with God.
Amen.
You're walking by the Holy Spirit. Enoch walked with God and begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And Enoch, and you also notice here that all the days of Enoch, you know, he didn't die like the rest of them. He was translated into heaven. But all the days of Enoch before he was translated was 365 years. I don't think that's any coincidence that's the exact same number of days in a year, right? That he lived his life walking with God, and he lived the number of years in a way that makes us think of him walking by faith and walking with God every
day.
Single day.
Amen.
Right? And he was not, for God took him. You know, it's very interesting. It appears in the Garden of Eden, you know, before sin came into the world, that man walked with God in the cool of the day. Because you kind of have this reference in Genesis chapter 3, after Adam had sinned, and they knew that they didn't have any clothes on, and they were ashamed of that. They tried to remove themselves from the presence of God. God was then walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and Eve hid from God. So that tells me that as God was walking in the garden in the midst of the day, that means that God walked with Adam and Eve, right? If they were hiding themselves from his presence and his fellowship, that means that they were used to walking with him,
right,
in the garden, right? And isn't it interesting to think about our lives that way? It's almost as if that's how we were created to live, right? We were created to walk with God.
Amen.
In fellowship and communion. Now, there was something that severed that fellowship, just like it did in the Garden of Eden, and that was sin. And I think we can still say today, it's most of the time our shortcomings and our sin that hinder our ability to walk in close fellowship and communion with God here in our lives as well. But the beautiful story of the gospel, though, is that Jesus came into the world to restore us to that close garden fellowship, walking with God for all of eternity.
Amen.
I love the depictions in Revelation 21 and 22 of the new heavens and the new earth using very much some of the same characteristics as you see described in the Garden of Eden. So man was created for garden fellowship, walking with God, and by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, now we will be ultimately returning to that. But I think what's important to note about that is that I believe God made man to walk in fellowship and communion with God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the way that we, and that's pleasing to him. Okay? Enoch had this testimony, what? That he pleased God. And if you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to live in a way that's pleasing to God.
Amen.
Right? And what's the way you do that? Well, one of the principles is by faith, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Amos chapter 3 and in verse 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? You know, think about, I'm naturally a slow walker, okay? I had some people in my old job that were fast walkers, and I got left behind a lot. I was taking up the rear a good bit. But, you know, you kind of have to, if you're going to walk with someone, you kind of have to be walking at the same pace, don't you? You kind of have to be in stride. You can't have one person that's just, you know, zooming away and another person like me, you know. And by the way, there's no real need to get in a huge hurry in life. Thank you, Sister Laura. You know,
all lazy people say that.
Hey, and that, guilty as charged, guilty as charged. You know, enjoy the scenery and be lazy, right, Sister Laura?
That's right.
But there's no real need to be rushing around, you know, like Bugs Bunny and the Roadrunner here in this life, you know, stop and smell the roses, right? But if you have someone that's maybe a little bit, you know, strolling, slowly, you know, taking their time, kind of like me, enjoying the scenery, and someone who has somewhere they need to be and they really need to get there quick. Well, you're not walking together, right? You're not walking with the same purpose. You're not walking in the same mindset, and you're not walking at the same speed either, right? But you also have to have a unity of direction when you're walking together with somebody, right? I mean, I decide we're going to go left, but, you know, I think we ought to go right. Well, you're not going to walk together if you go in separate directions,
right?
Can two walk together except they be agreed, right? Now think about this. If you're walking by faith and you're allowing faith that's a fruit of the Spirit to dictate your manner of walk in life, do you think that if you walk by faith, you will be more in agreement and more in stride with the Lord than if you weren't walking by faith?
Amen.
No, the way that you're going to be in agreement and be walking in lockstep stride with the Lord is by walking by faith. And that's pleasing to him, right? Enoch walked by faith, and he had this testimony that he pleased God. Okay? walking in our life of discipleship is a very common depiction of our lives in the Bible. And I'm just going to give you a very brief excerpt of some of those. I mean, we could, you know, have a very extended sermon series, not just a message on this. So many verses reference this, but think about how is it that we can walk in a way, that we can live in a way to first of all have communion with God, but to live in a way that is pleasing to God. Because I want to live in a manner that is pleasing and glorifying to my Lord. Do you?
Amen.
I hope that you do. And I think some of these depictions in Scripture show us how we can have communion. Because you know what? I may be walking in the same general direction as the Lord, but I may not be in stride with Him right like I need to be. Okay? And I think if we consider the way that some of these verses depict that we ought to be walking, then we will be walking in stride and in fellowship and in communion with God. And that's pleasing to Him. That's pleasing to Him. In Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You know, God is ordained. He is not absolutely predetermined and robotically controlled your actions to walk in good works, but He has decreed it. He has commanded it, that you walk in good works. The standard of good works, the standard of how we ought to live, the standard for how we ought to act is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right? That's why we have so much information in the Gospels about how He walked, how He lived His life, because that's how we are commanded to walk as well. 1 John chapter 2, and we'll start here in verse 5. "For whosoever keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked." Whew, that's a pretty high bar, right? I mean, Jesus lived in a perfect way, right? He walked in his ministry in a way that was absolutely above reproach. Undefiled, perfect, and He is the standard for how we ought to walk. I hope that you read your Bible consistently and have, you know, a systematic way, even if you're not on a one-year Bible reading plan or something like that, a systematic way that you read your Bible, hopefully every day. But don't ever spend too much time out of the Gospels. Let me put it like that. Is because you need to be consistently reminded of the way that Jesus walked.
Amen.
You need to examine His life because He's the standard. Okay? That we ought to walk even as He walked. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. "He hath told you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of thee?" What does the Lord require of thee? "To do justly, to love mercy, and then to walk humbly with thy God." Pride is the exact opposite of God and the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
That's of the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Pride is antichrist, literally. As God was listing off in Proverbs chapter 6, the six things that He hates. What's the very first thing that God lists there in that listing that He hates? Pride. A proud look.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, God's not pleased with pride.
Amen.
He's not pleased with a proud look, but what He is pleased with is humility. What does the Lord require of you? Do justly, act right, don't Don't abuse other people. Don't take advantage of them. Love, mercy. You know, grace is unmerited favor. Grace is giving you what you don't deserve. But mercy is not giving someone what they do deserve.
Right. Amen.
Now, we want to claim the mercy of God. I know I sure do. But sometimes it's a whole lot more difficult to, you have a legal or a practical or a relational, right, so to say, to hold someone accountable for their offense. They've offended and they are worthy of this consequence of that offense. But what does mercy do? Mercy says, I'm not going to make you bear the penalty for your just offense.
Amen.
And that's hard to put in practice, folks. I don't know if you've had to live that out. But it's very difficult to know that you have the right to hold someone accountable, but instead to choose to love mercy. And God's pleased by that. God's Amen. Honored by that. To walk humbly with thy God. Again, God is just repulsed by pride. In his kingdom, who is it that he exalts? If you try to exalt yourself, that's who he abases. But it's those that abase themselves, it's the least among you that will be first. It's the those that humble themselves in due time that Christ will see fit to exalt. Okay? Walk humbly with thy God. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Walk worthy of the calling, vocation, the calling wherewith you're called. Now, how do you do that? Well, just keep reading, right? With all lowliness. It's talking about humility, yeah. Right? With all lowliness, to think lowly of yourself. Keep your finger there. Philippians chapter 2, describing walking humbly with the Lord and having a lowliness of mind and Jesus being our example, okay, him being the standard for how we ought to walk, he put this in practice, right? Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, it's very important for us to be in tune with the Holy Spirit, because if we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, we're going to be in tune with the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Okay? And if the mind, you know, if two walk together except they be agreed, if you have the same mind, then you're going to be making the same decisions. Mm-hmm. You're going to be following the same path. You're going to be walking in the same way, right? So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And he being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, you know what's really interesting about this? Now this is God, okay? This is Jesus, God manifest in the flesh. But even here, we have this depiction of God humbled himself and became a man, but then it points us toward the last day where he will be exalted. Now understand, he's still God, okay? But in the eyes of man, he humbled himself. And at the end of time, in the eyes of man, he will be exalted.
Yes.
Notice this. Verse 9. Wherefore God hath given him wherefore God hath highly exalted him. Okay, he highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, there's a lot of people that said some very blasphemous things about the Son of God when he was here on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, even those men that crucified him, even those Jews that heard Pilate say that he is innocent and he's not worthy of death, and they said, crucify him, crucify him. Those Roman soldiers that pierced his side, in Revelation chapter 1, it says, even they shall behold him when he comes back. And you know what? When Jesus comes back in all of his glory, his unfiltered glory, even the unregenerate will have no other recourse than to acknowledge and exalt the deity and the lordship of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'll tell you, Jesus is been very maligned here in this world, but every single person will confess that he is Lord at the end of time.
Amen.
I'll tell you that. That makes me proud of the Lord will be exalted.
Yes.
Right? With all lowliness, back in Ephesians chapter 4. With all lowliness of mind and meekness. And Jesus set the example for that, right? With all long suffering. Well, that ain't easy either, right? I mean, long suffering means you got to suffer. But not just for a minute. You got to suffer long. This is not short suffering. This is long suffering, okay? And that's part of walking worthy. Loving mercy. Walking humbly. Long suffering. Forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See, it ties it back into the Spirit too. Notice in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ hath loved us and given himself an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now, just like faith, what is love? It's fruit of the Spirit, right? So if you're walking in love, then you're going to be walking with God.
Yes.
Right? He says a little bit later on in this chapter, be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, to be guided by the Spirit of God, walk by faith, walk in love. And guess what? You know, it's kind of like, you know, God has his pattern, right? He has his pathway. And the more that you, you know, you can be off here not walking along with him, but he's, whether you're walking as you ought to or not, he's just walking in his pathway. And essentially what he's saying is the more that you're guided by the Holy Spirit, the more that you walk in faith, the more that you walk in love, the more that you live a humble, lowliness of mind life, this is the Lord's pathway. And if you're out here, you're slowly going to be bringing yourself back in to walking in line with him. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Walk in love. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, let's start in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Now, how do you walk worthy unto the Lord of all pleasing? Being fruitful in every good work, right? What are we ordained to? Good works, right? Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, it says in, I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, that God desires all men to be saved. And in that context, the salvation that's under consideration is having all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay, so God desires for all men, all of his elect, all of his born again children of God, not to live in abject ignorance of him. I mean, you know, God could have, if he never inspired his word, if he never called men to preach, if he never gave us verses that describe the covenant of redemption, that wouldn't have changed the validity of eternal salvation.
Amen.
But why did God give us this? To give us the blessing of knowledge.
Yes.
Right? To give us the privilege to know more about him, to know how we ought to walk, so we can walk in communion with him. And God desires for every single one of his children to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay? And he desires for them to walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, your discipleship is not a static thing.
Amen.
Okay. you are either pressing forward or you're falling behind.
Amen.
Okay. You can't just say, at this point, I'm going to put a stake right here and I'm just going to stay right here in my level of devotion and commitment and discipleship, and I'm just going to stay right here and not really press that far into the kingdom as fervently as I ought to, but I'm going to purposefully make sure I don't go backward either. Well, you know what? Every moment you're not pressing forward, you're going backward.
Going backwards. Amen.
Okay? Your discipleship is not static. And the fact of the matter is, we're either increasing or we're decreasing in the knowledge of God.
Amen.
We're either growing or we're atrophying. Right? He says, I think it's in Peter. He says, my desire is that you would grow in grace and in knowledge of the truth. Well, you know what you're doing if you're not growing? You're atrophying.
Amen.
Okay? If you're not growing in grace and the knowledge of the truth, that strength you may have had is being diminished. It's not remaining the same. I mean, we know that just in natural life, right? It doesn't matter what where you're at right now. If you just say, I'm going to stay right here and not do anything to maintain this level, you don't know what you're doing by saying you're not doing anything, maintaining it. Let me tell you, the strength that you used to have is going to be gone like that.
Yes.
Right? We have to increase in the knowledge of the truth. Grow in grace and in knowledge. That you, verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You know, God is honored when we give him thanks for his blessings in our life.
Amen.
That's a very important part of walking with God, right? Is giving thanks unto the Father. And, I mean, we have a lot of blessings in our life, temporal blessings. But he says we need to give thanks because he has made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And that's some of the temporal blessings we have. But also we need to give thanks in verse 13 that he has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. And we have redemption through his blood, verse 14, even the forgiveness of sins. I mean, I'm thankful for providential blessings. I'm thankful for a lot of things I have been blessed with in this life. But the primary thing that we need to exalt and praise and thank the Lord for is because we've been redeemed from our sins through his blood and we've been forgiven. That we've been removed from the kingdom of darkness and been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Let's look at verse 6 in Hebrews chapter 11. Enoch, he walked with God. Noah is described as being walking with God as well. He's the next one in line here in Hebrews chapter 11. Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God translated him. One of two men in Scripture that did not die a physical death. For before his translation, he had this testimony. So what was the testimony of Enoch's life? That he pleased God. I pray that every single one of us could have that testimony. Walking with God, communion with God, living by faith. That we pleased God. Now, if you're going to do that, you can't walk by sight. You're going to have to walk by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. In Romans chapter 8, as here we have described the nature of the carnal mind, verse 7, Romans 8, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, that's true of the unregenerate because they're only in the flesh. Okay? And they don't have the capacity to please God. And what's one of the reasons they don't have the capacity to please God? They're in the flesh. And since they're not in the flesh, they don't have the spirit. And they don't have the spirit. They don't have faith. Right? So without faith, it's impossible to please him. And how do you get faith? By the new birth. That's passive on your part. right? They that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's true of the unregenerate. But I'll tell you, that's also true of the child of God that's not living in the spirit, they're living in the flesh. I'll tell you, that's not just an unregenerate text. If we live in the flesh and you're not walking by faith, you can't please God either.
Right.
You can't. I mean, is God, the carnal mind, okay, the carnal mind is enmity with God, enemies. And it doesn't even have the capacity to be subject to the law of God.
Amen.
Not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So if that is the influence that's guiding your actions, and it cannot please God, it doesn't even have the ability to be subject to the law of God, then do you think you're going to be walking in communion and fellowship with God?
No.
Can two walk together except they be agreed? Right? Paul gave a lesson in the Corinthian letter about being unequally yoked with unbelievers. And he said, hey, what communion does Christ have with Belial, or light with darkness? Was just as dark. What communion does the spirit have with the flesh? None. Do you understand? This is a zero-sum game. It's one or the other.
Right.
Okay? And if we're being guided by the flesh, it's going to move us in the exact opposite direction of God, because it naturally is an enemy. Do you understand? It's an enemy. It's going to move us in the exact opposite direction of walking with God. But if we're guided by the Holy Spirit, though, the Holy Spirit is God, right? So we're going to be walking in fellowship and communion with God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Just like I said before, we cannot be passive and complacent and living in autopilot in our walk of discipleship. And we're not serving God to get rewards, but because God is such a good God, He rewards those that do diligently seek Him. Understand, this is not a conditional transaction that, you know, I actually want more blessings, so therefore I want to do this action so God gives me more blessings. No, this is not a business transaction.
Thank
okay?
you.
This is, you know, I mentioned on Sunday in Macedonia that considering the Song of Solomon and the bride that says, this is my beloved and this is my friend. And then Jesus says in John chapter 15, I have not called you servants, but I have called you friends. All right. Now, a servant receives a command and they have a legal obligation to obey that command. And you don't get bragged on. I mean, you don't get extra accolades for being a servant and doing what your boss told you to do.
Right. Amen.
Okay. But he said, in my mind, this is not just a business transaction. In other words, you're a servant. I have my word. I have commands. I tell you what to do. You do it. And as long as you do, I won't chastise you for it. No, he said, I called you friends. And he desires to bless those that are obedient. Do you understand? This is not just a cold business transaction that he gave you a command, and if you don't do it, I'm going to punish you for it. Now, your greatest joy is going to be in doing it.
Amen.
Okay? And God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, He rewards you for seeking Him too. But He's an even greater rewarder, so to say, of those that diligently seek Him.
Amen.
And obviously Enoch had that testimony, right? He lived his entire life walking by faith, walking with God to such a degree that God said, you know what? I am not going to force him to go through the physical. And by the way, he was 365 when he, you know, was translated up to heaven. This is during a period of time that everybody was living to like 900 and dying. He gave him the privilege of not having to live an extra 600 Amen. Years here on this earth.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, that's a pretty good bonus for walking with God, right? I mean, what a reward, right? For walking with God, that the normal lifespan of everybody then, you know, he was going to be around for another 600 years. But you know what? I'm going to give you the privilege of being with Christ, which is far better, not have to put up with the filth and the wickedness of this world for Amen. Another 600 years. What a great reward for Enoch that diligently sought God, right? But there are so many admonitions in Scripture of how we ought to walk, all pointing back to the example of Jesus Christ walking in love, lowliness of mind, long-suffering, endeavoring to keep the Spirit in the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I pray that we can look at Enoch's example, look at Jesus' example, walk by faith, live by faith, and walk in communion and fellowship with God in a way that's pleasing unto Him.
Amen.